Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, how you doing?
I am doing well. It's a banner week. Dale Earnhardt Jr. wins the Daytona 500, and my oldest kid was accepted to graduate school at George Mason, so things are going well for me this week.
Does that mean you need another job?
I need more income. I don't know if it'll come from a job or where it's going to come from. But no, we're obviously very proud of her. So it's been an exciting time at the Payton House. But this is going to be a fun segment, and no less exciting. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Mikhail Avati, CMO with SmartUp, and some folks from the IREM Georgia, the Institute of Real Estate Management Georgia chapter, Deborah Westfall and Cheryl Brown. We're going to visit with them as well. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to the program Vice President of Retail and Business Development for a little company some of you might have heard of, Honey Baked Ham. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Tim Quinn. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, we are delighted to have you. And as many of our listeners already know, I am a big fan of well-prepared pork products.
So, I'm not just saying that.
We really are delighted to have you.
So you must have one of the easiest jobs selling honey-baked ham, right?
I do.
Nobody says, no, I don't want any honey-baked ham.
I do. I actually don't wear logoed shirts on airplanes and in airports and things like that because the conversations that break out and the last family get-together that they had honey-baked ham. But no, it's a great response that customers have to our brand.
Now, how long has honey-baked been around?
We've been around since 1957.
Wow.
Our chairwoman, Linda Van Reese, her grandfather, Harry Hunsler, actually invented the spiral slicing machine and started the first store back in 1957 in Michigan.
So the spiral is the secret sauce, or is it the glaze?
Good question. You know, the spiral is how it really all started. I think the glaze is the magic.
Right.
And, you know, our products are like no one else's. You know, we smoke them up to 20 hours. We have great vendor partners. And I don't think people realize what we really do in our stores. And you come up to the stores at the holidays and you kind of enter a store with bated breath because you smell something in the air. We spiral slice the hams in the store. We carve them and we glaze them by hand and then wrap them in the signature gold foil before they get to you. So it's a special process that really no one else can do. Many people have tried, but it's ours. It's our process.
See, I learned something every day. I just assumed that it all came to you ready to rock and you just handed it to the customer. So a lot of the magic happens in the local store on site.
It happens by hand, by honey baked people, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's not a consumer packaged goods. It's an item that we actually finish, I guess is what you
right.
would say. But we do spiral slice it in the store, we glaze it by hand, huge flame and torch, and that's where the magic happens, and that's where
so it's glazed in the store too?
Glazed in the store as well.
Wow. So they get the ham and then they're doing the work of spiral slicing it and glazing it right there. So you're getting it pretty fresh then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And fresh to you.
Right.
Speaking of packaging, the foil that you guys wrap the hams in, I have an alternate and additional product idea for you called Man Wrap.
Okay.
Because it's this really good, heavy-duty, beautiful foil. And for people like me that have never developed really great gift wrapping skills, if I could get my hands just on, I think you could sell it as a whole separate product. If you could just get the foil to us, we could wrap our presents.
I'm telling you. That foil's pretty thick. It'll cut you. But
it's perfect.
And there are
another idea is a cologne.
Okay. We'll stay away from the cologne. But I would tell you, there are people that just can't wrap a ham, just cannot wrap a ham. So I'm one of those people. And if you look, the mirror
finish. So you're
not
finish, a certified ham
not a, not
wrapper?
Not a certified wrapper. No, I can clean a ham.
You can spiral slice it, though?
I can spiral slice. Yes,
what's your personal best time?
It's a set time. The machine goes only so fast.
So is it a hand tool or is it a machine? Are you allowed to tell us that much?
That's great. That's a great question.
That was a fantastic question. I stayed up all last
Look,
night.
We want to know.
We're
fans.
Well, here you go. So great segue because Harry was an inventor. Okay, he wasn't a ham guy. He was an inventor. And he actually had a dream one night about the spiral slicing machine. And woke up, drew it, got a patent on it, and we were off to the races.
Cool. Yeah.
So was it just for ham initially, or was it for other spiral slicing?
We've spiral sliced turkeys. We'll spiral slice anything, but primarily the ham and the turkey, yeah.
So are you always on the hook for, like, that the family get-togethers? Are you just expected to show up with honey-baked ham product?
Not only family get-togethers, where the dogs stay for, you know, pet care, for at the school, everybody, you know, you're the honey-baked ham guy, so you're responsible.
All right, so I want to hear a little bit about your personal backstory. How did you get into the honey-baked ham fold?
You know, I was with Circuit City Stores. I was recruited into their development program right out of the University of Tennessee by a very bright woman who is our current COO here at Honey Baked. So, you can see I was also recruited here as well, Maggie DeCann. You know, at Circuit City, I was involved in store operations and new store design. And before all the Circuit City collapse, I'd come over to Honey Baked, and we really worked on the retail concept since we've been here. And worked with a company called Miller-Zell here out of Atlanta. And actually, they won a national specialty retail store design when they helped us design our store. And we've been remodeling stores and expanding franchise and having a good time working at Honey Baked ever since.
So that's a slight pivot then, to go from a ham that you would get at the holidays to a store that's open every day to serve meals and stuff, right?
Yes, it is. And for years, we were just a ham depot. You would come in and get your ham at the holidays.
Right, and then leave, and you'd have, you know, a 15, 20-pound ham.
Right, and managers in stores would watch movies and, you know.
So they were open year-round?
They were open year-round. That's, who knew? Who knew?
And someone said, hey, you know, there's a thing called bread. You know, we could
make sandwiches out of this. Right.
We have the ham. It's spiral-sliced.
We did not invent the ham sandwich, but you know, 20 years ago, we started with lunch, and the lunch business took off, and then that gave us catering, and the catering business, which was really our business model, is unique, and I love talking to people about it, because people, when they think of quick service food, right, or if they think of specialty retail, we are multidimensional. We're not single dimensional. We don't just, you know, run a coupon. People come in, and we sit around and wait for the next customer. We have the ability, you know, with our retail business, very strong retail business, how we were founded. We have a very strong lunch business, and we're remodeling every store to make sure that we can have that cafe feel. Mm-hmm. A double-digit growth catering business. I mean, we're out in the market, and that's really our avenue for local store marketing and getting the brand out there is catering. We do fundraising, which is a big business, you know, locally, giving back within the community. So our model really works really well for us, because all these different things work together to create a brand presence that's not just marketing, but we're very involved in the community.
Right, and the beauty of it is that you get to this is kind of a pun, piggyback on the on the brand, right?
He's been waiting a week
right,
to play.
I wrote that down. Where can I squeeze that in? So you have the brand that it's just so beloved. I mean, no one dislikes Honey Baked Ham. It's just a universally loved brand. And then I think your challenge is the awareness that you also sell sandwiches year-round.
Right.
But that's a much easier problem to solve than saying I exist in the first place to try me. Everybody loves you.
We've only been doing it for 20 years, so yeah. I know that's new. It's a new sales channel for us. No, that is. People still think of us as that ham.
I get a whole ham. They don't think I get a ham sandwich.
Right.
You know,
they don't think that.
So that's your challenge nowadays, I guess,
is
do your local people have to go out kind of one at a time and go in and kind of re-educate the consumer that, hey, you know, we can cater your lunch that you have here next week?
That is spot on, because, you know, part of the year is supplying the demand. So at the holidays, these managers work really hard on forecasting and producing, making sure that we can meet the demand on the holidays. But then January 1st...
Now what are they doing?
Right. They have to switch gears, and they have to go out, and they need to be involved in their community. So finding a person that can do both, be a strong operator, but also be a business development person within their community, mayor of their community, you might say.
Is that one of your tenets, or you want them to be kind of the mayor of their community?
We do. We do. We're not out peddling the brand. We're out trying to get involved and trying to get involved in schools and get involved with businesses. And it's really about building relationships for us, right, because we really are a relationship brand.
Right.
So, yeah, the manager has to be able to do that. And a gentleman just down the street from your studios here does a really nice job of that.
So then he'll go into the businesses. Who would be the target for that person? It's not the business owner necessarily. It could be the admin, right, or the receptionist or somebody like that.
The neat thing for us is anyone that eats.
Right.
So they're our target. Because it could be for lunch, it could be for catering, it could be for a holiday meal. So when the manager comes in, it's really, hey, I'm here, I'm from Honey Baked, and I've got some lunches with me. I've got some box lunches with me. And we meet administrative assistants, we meet HR people, we meet security folks, you know, we meet loading dock managers, whoever it is. And the affinity for the brand is makes it very easy and opens the door for us, right, many times. But then the great products and the extensive menus that we have really help us stay relevant.
The reason I'm shaking my head over here, do you have any idea how many years I spent emailing white papers when what I should have been doing was dropping off Honey Baked Ham sandwiches? I would have gotten so much further, so much quicker. Now, Lee talked about universal appeal, and that certainly has been my experience. But is that true across all geos? Like, is this just as big a deal out west, up north?
Great question. You know, we regional, there's always differences in how your brand is received. And, you know, when we look at the Northeast, we were talking about Boston earlier. We have very, very strong Easters up there, and we have very strong Easters like in St. Louis and in out west, where Thanksgiving is huge, huge in the Southeast. So regionally, there's big differences. But even within like the Latino community, they celebrate Thanksgiving because it's an American holiday. So we get a great response at Thanksgiving there. So yeah, I think it is universally accepted. We have a new venture in Japan, and we have a partner that is starting to sell hams in Japan. Huh. And who knew that pork was their second largest consumed protein? Fish is number one. And so I think that's a great question, because Honey Baked Ham kind of fits the bill in many a plate.
So back to business model a little bit more. You've got these company-owned stores, but you also have franchises, and now you're talking about an international type of affiliation. So it's you got quite a different a number of different types of models in place.
We do. And I would tell you that the franchise business is continuing to grow and continuing to be very strong for us. And it really – the way we go to market is we do have company-owned stores, and that's the way we started. Harry had four daughters and split the country up into four divisions, and that's what started the company-owned stores. And then from there, franchising nationally has really filled in the gap for us and served those underserved honey-baked markets, you might say. And then what we've done over the years is convenience has been our biggest opportunity. So they love the product. Well, they think our associates are uber friendly, but you're just not convenient enough. So you've got company-owned stores, you've got franchise stores. Now we have seasonal stores in a little bit more remote markets. And we fill in the gaps with pop-up retail. We partner with grocers and malls and operate within their four walls with our own footprint. And we've reached a lot more customers in the last few years because of that kind of market optimization strategy.
And when you go in a store, it's not just ham, right? Like, you have other pork products in there as well?
We do. We have hams, we have our turkeys, and that's really what we're known for. We've got some amazing, you know, barbecue pork roast.
We have bacon. Right?
We have bacon, which is our newest. You know, we'd have a great marketing and products team that has come out with three flavors of bacon that are in our stores now.
And then Stone's a member of the Ham Hock of the Month Club.
Right? No, you can get a ham hock if you sweet talk the guy, right?
We don't call it ham hock.
That's what he calls it.
We are in the South.
I don't know. What do you guys call it?
We call it ham bones.
Ham bones. Ham bones. There you go.
But no, you can go in and buy a ham bone, right?
Well, you think about it. If the hams come to us whole. Okay, so we're finishing the hams off in the store to make sandwiches from that ham. We have to portion it off the bone, and we have slices available by the pound and by the half pound, and then we make sandwich portions out of that as well. we found a way to sell the bone too. So thank you for coming in and purchasing.
Well, and I have to tell potential customers, this is not a ham bone like you're going to get at your Winn-Dixie. this, I mean, it's got enough ham on it to be called a ham. I mean, right. I mean, they're very generous with this ham bone. Let me just say that, and it has that, you know, that that classic honey baked flavor to it. It's marvelous.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you.
So I want to hear a little bit more about your day-to-day, a life in the day of Tim. What the
Wow. Everyone would think that, you know, since we're such a seasonal company, that January 1st, it's, ooh, let's take
it's a vacation.
Let's
winter.
Go out of town. And it's not. You know, I explained to you kind of what goes on with our company and our partnership with our vendors. We plan everything down to basically every customer at the holidays. So there's a lot of planning that goes on the in the office and in the stores to produce the right amount of product every single day, to make sure that the customer experience at the holiday, that every customer engages with a honey-baked associate. Mm-hmm. And we know exactly how many seconds they should be doing that to get that experience the right way. So we spend a lot of time on that. And then, you know, the catering and lunch business. We're out and we're making relationships in our community. So it's it is a 365-day-a-year business. It is not just the 6 weeks out of the year, you know, right. 2 weeks before every holiday. It's a 365-day-a-year business.
Now, are you developing kind of the business development techniques that the franchisee would use in their store, so you're kind of experimenting with things in order to give them best practices?
We do.
I guess your corporate stores are kind of your laboratories?
They are. I would tell you our franchisees are very innovative, so we take just as many ideas from them.
Good idea. You don't care where it comes from.
Don't care where it comes from. But we do. We'll test a lot of the larger programs, like the grocery store,
right.
Pop-up retail units. We'll test those, and then we'll start to share those with our franchisees. We're testing some things right now. Go back to convenience. We're going to be testing express pickup, because if everybody thinks about the lines of the holidays and Honey Baked, we're testing express pickup this Easter and hopefully be able to roll that out.
So when you test something, you just pick a couple stores and then you...
Usually a couple markets, so we can do some advertising around that and really test it in more than just a few stores. We're testing home delivery in some markets this Easter as well, so...
One of those Amazon drone thing where you can drop it down in
like
my front yard.
Hams from the sky. Right. The pigs fly. I thought you would have that one.
I left that one for you.
Sorry. I wrote that one down.
So what do you need and want most going forward, and how can we help? Are you looking for more potential franchisees? Or are you actively recruiting employees? Do we need to invent?
Everything. Yeah. You know, our strategy is really to make sure that, you know, we're serving the world's best ham, and it takes the right people to do that. So I think recruiting the right people and have the right people come on board. I would tell you, franchising with us is a great business. I kind of explained to you the operating model, and we really can fit in any community. So we would enjoy having more franchisees on board. And last thing I would say is you know, our catering and lunch business, that's the viable part for us 365 throughout the year. So if you haven't come by and shared lunch with us, please come by. And when you see us out and delivering catering, stop. We'll give you a coupon or something for maybe a ham bone, but a turkey breast or something like that to come in our stores.
Fantastic. And website coordinates or something for people that just want to stay abreast and keep.
Yeah, we've become hyper local, so we have every store has its own website. It's myhoneybakestore.com.
And you put in your zip code, you can find the one closest to you.
It actually will help you with that when you put that in. Our national site is www.honeybake.com. So those two places you can see what we're all about.
Cool.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning, and I think we're all big fans here. And of course, as we all know, I have a keen nose for all well-prepared pork products, but particularly honey-baked ham. And I think I sense that there may be some right here on the premises, and maybe we'll be sharing that with the rest of our guests.
There was probably some lunch out there for everyone. So that's good.
That's if they do a good job. Yeah. We don't want to make any promises.
Do you see the eyes lighting up here from our other guests and even the folks in the gallery? And so they're very generous, and we appreciate that. And we're going to look forward to hanging out. And we're not necessarily done with you either. Kevin, I'd like you to keep his microphone open because we might check in with you as we visit with some of our other guests.
That means you got to pay attention.
I will. I will. Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't go to sleep. But please do hang out with us while we visit with some of our next guests.
We'd love to. We'd love to.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us the CMO of SmartUp, Mr. Mikhail Avati. How you doing, man?
Good morning. I am fantastic this morning.
What food did you bring us?
You know, I didn't bring food, but I brought ideas.
All right. I'll take it.
All right. Well, we want to hear a few of those. So tell us a little bit about mission, purpose. What are you out there trying to do for folks?
Sure. So to connect me and Tim, what SmartUp was made for was to make the next Harry successful. Harry had a great invention. He got it patented, and he built a great, amazing business that's changing all of our communities and is feeding all of us this wonderful food. If Harry didn't get that patent, it would have been a lot harder for him to start his businesses. Is that correct?
Correct.
So with the recent patent law changes, we realized that the next entrepreneur, the next Harry, the next inventor, the next startup is going to have a much harder time keeping up with the changes. We wanted to make a platform that was easy, affordable, and would educate them. And that's what SmartUp was made for. SmartUp was made to help the next Harry.
It's to help somebody get a patent?
Absolutely.
And then a patent doesn't necessarily have to be for an invention like a spiral slicing machine, right? Because there's a lot of patents that are more process-oriented rather than...
So there are design patents, there are utility patents. You can get a patent on the business process even.
So now, how does this work? Say we have an idea for a business process that we want patented.
Absolutely.
I just type something into the app, and then I get a patent.
So the first barrier.
Patent app.
So the first barrier we want to break is people's fear of speaking with an attorney. Because what's the first thing that comes to your mind? How much is it going to cost me?
It's like a taxi cab meter.
That's right. So what we did was we made a consult feature where it's essentially ask an attorney a question. You have an idea.
Are you an attorney?
I am not.
Okay. Can you bring an attorney? I want to
test
this.
You know, my partner. Unfortunately, my partner was not able to join us today. But so you have a new idea,
right?
And you just want to ask a quick question. Isn't this even something I can get a patent on? Because I don't know the patent rules, right?
Right.
So we created the system to make it free for the entrepreneurs and the startups and the next Harrys. You get on there, you ask a question. Within 3 hours, you're going to get a response from a real patent attorney.
So like a. I'm having a conversation question or I'm typing a question?
You click a button. It asks you, what's your question about patents, trademarks, copyrights? And then you write your question. You'll get a response in either email or phone call, depending on your choice, within 3 hours.
Nice. Okay, so that's step one.
That's step one.
And then I guess a note back says, yeah, Stone, you really ought to talk about that. You've got a business process that we might be able to protect to some degree. So walk us through the rest of it.
All right. You're great. You sign up. And we created this really...
Am I paying yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
You haven't spent a dollar. You haven't spent a dollar.
All right. So far, you got me.
You go through an intuitive process that essentially asks you all the right question to write out about your idea. And the next step, you'll have a consultation with an attorney, about a half an hour consultation, where you go through, and then you pay. Once you pay, the attorney has essentially everything that he needs to make this a good, solid patent.
So that process that to go through, you're kind of prompting me with questions.
Exactly.
And forcing me to type down things.
We give you examples. We give you everything you need to get your idea.
It's like Mad Libs for patents, right?
That's right.
But I'm doing a lot of this off the meter.
Right, I'm doing it because you're the one typing it in.
Right.
He's just asking, right? It's just prompting me with questions.
That's right.
Well, because this gets cost
He's
prohibitive
busy. Exactly.
for a new startup or an inventor doing all what you're talking about in the old traditional method cost prohibitive, right?
You know,
plus you screw it up.
Yeah, and you know, you can't really see me on the radio, but the book, it's about 6 inches
It's about
thick.
The size of a honey baked ham.
It's about the size of a honey baked and there's just there's so much secret sauce that goes into what you should leave in, what you should leave out, that we really think that you need an attorney to help you with that. Because before we came along, there were really two places you could go to get a patent. The first market, which is kind of the entry level where that's a do-it-yourself or you use a fill-in-the-blank template. That's it.
Right.
Like go to Office Depot. It's like, here's your patent. Fill in these
lines. No, it'd be like a LegalZoom, or you try to just go to the U.S. government website and try to fill it
out. Oh, I'm going to wing it?
You're going to wing it. There's a lot of people winging it.
Is that true?
That's true.
Do you know the percentage of people that try to wing it?
I don't know that. I know that 20% of all patents that are filed and granted are from small entities, so the non-large businesses. Mm-hmm. Out of those, I don't know how many are using an attorney.
Wow. And there's something called a patent agent, right? That's different than a
so a patent
attorney?
Agent. So there are two bars to be able to practice patent law, and there's the if they just do the patent one, they become a patent agent,
and they don't necessarily have to be a lawyer.
They
for
don't
that.
Need to be a lawyer, and if they pass the regular bar, then they become a patent lawyer. But they need two, and in order to get become a patent agent, you actually have to have an engineering degree as well.
All right, so what got you into this line of work? Are you a frustrated inventor? You got
screwed on
some great idea?
To be honest, the real man behind this idea, Yuri Eliezer, he pulled me in. So he worked for a large firm, and that firm made
him. He's a patent attorney.
Uh-huh. And he's been working in the industry for a while. He served clients like Microsoft, Cisco. And his large firm made him the expert on a new patent law change, which is the American Invents Act.
And when did this change take place?
March 16th, 2013.
Oh, so this recent.
This was recent. Uh-huh. This was the first major patent reform in our nation.
In a good way or a bad way?
Both. We're going to the international standards, so that's good. But it really made it harder for the inventor because now it's a race to the patent office.
Right.
We moved from a first to invent to a first to file system. What that means is before, if you took a good log, like you're doing right here, so
right.
It took a good log and you could prove that you invented this first, right. You would get the patent rights. No more. Now it's whoever sent the application to the government.
So there could be the guy, Harry, right? He's been using this spiral thing for 20 years. There's pictures of him. There's video of him.
He has a log.
And then he's never thought to patent it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, some new guy buys his machine, makes a little change, and then
he doesn't even have to make a change.
He can just take his existing machine.
Exactly. He doesn't even have.
Wow, that's
terrible.
Well,
that's why it's become a race. So as I was mentioning, it's going to become extra important for people.
Well, now
to start
it seems like people
inventors.
Can just find stuff that doesn't have a patent and just start patenting everything.
Well,
right? There's nothing stopping them.
If the other person has not got a patent, yeah,
right?
They could. They could apply for a patent.
That's terrible.
Well, yes, but
for the large businesses, this really helps them because now they just pump everything.
Exactly,
they have.
They're patenting everything. Right.
They're patenting everything. And,
that's good for you guys, right?
Well, we really don't service large corporations. The reason we started was to help the Harrys. The Harrys are now. What am I going to spend $5,000-$10,000 getting a patent when I'm just trying to build my business?
Right.
So that's the other end of the spectrum. You have the do-it-yourself, and then the other end of the spectrum is spending thousands upon thousands of dollars going to a traditional law firm. We thought there needs to be a middle ground. There needs to be a way where we can help Harry get an affordable patent and make it quality.
Right, because that's another thing. Just because I have a patent, there's ways around the patent, right?
Right. So you need an attorney to make sure you're putting in the right stuff, taking out the right stuff, giving you the most comprehensive coverage that you can. It's really an art in that way, and you really need an artist, right? And I have quotations going, an artist. But these lawyers are extremely professional, extremely knowledgeable. They know how to make it a strong patent.
So now in your service, what's the range of pricing that I would pay for this?
So we decided to take the same approach that Square Payments took in the financial services industry. We're making it clear and clear pricing. We decided to do that with legal work. We want you to know, to choose a package and know exactly what you're going to pay for it and know exactly what you're going to get out of it. So we decided to do clear pricing. So if you want a provisional patent, we give you three different packages depending on how much work you want the lawyer to do. Because some people really do want to do most of it.
Right.
So our entry level is $400 where you do most of the work. Lawyer looks over it, gives you a little bit of suggestion, gives you a yay or nay, and then we send it over to file it for you.
So you actually do the filing? The paper,
our company.
Your company.
Our company, yes. Our platform.
That's part of the service you're
paying
for.
That's part of the service, yes. But we e-file it for you.
Uh-huh.
And then the premium package is about $900, where once you fill out our form on the platform, as we'll take you through all the steps, lawyer pretty much has everything he needs. After consulting with you, he writes the whole thing for you.
Now, is that for a patent, like for a product, or is this for?
It can be a patent for anything.
It can be a process as well.
Right. So,
because the process, I would think, would take more back and forth with the attorney.
So, yes. So the. But for a provisional patent, it's not as necessary to get it, but we do longer consultations as well where necessary.
Now, what's the difference between a provisional patent and a patent?
Sure. So a provisional patent essentially is a way to put your spot in line to get a to get a patent. You have, it'll give you 12 months to get funds. It'll give you 12 months to start marketing your idea, and you can claim patent pending. So it's a really powerful way to continue to keep growing your business without shelling out a lot of money. And that's what it was made for, and that's why it's much less expensive.
So how does the sales and marketing thing work for your firm? Because you need people, you need Harry's out there, but then you also need lawyers, right? They're not all on your staff, right? So you've got two different groups that you're serving. And so, yeah, speak to us. How do you meet the Harry's? How do you get that going? Is it all over the web?
So we're an online platform.
Right.
And our presence is online. But we're also very – just like the regional managers in Honey Baked Ham are very involved in their community.
Right.
We want to be involved in the startup community. So what we did was we partnered with some of the largest startup organizations in the world, including the largest startup organization in the world, Mass Challenge. And we became their premier go-to for their patent work because they saw this huge need for their members. They have 130 startups going through their system. And then you have these lawyers charging them a lot of money. They don't have, they just don't have those funds to be spending that kind of money. And they needed an affordable way, but they also need the patents to get funding. So they saw this as a huge need. They loved what we were doing, and we've been getting amazing feedback from their customers. So we just continue to do it, and we have very strong partnerships with them.
So you're hanging out with people at the Startopia, or the Startup Riots, or
these guys are the most brilliant people
aren't
we've
they
ever
fun?
Met. Oh my God, these people working on artificial intelligence—they're all wearing Google Glass. It's just it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with our clients because these guys are the next Harry's. They're making the stuff that are going to change our world, and that is very rewarding to me to continue to work and help build the American dream for them.
So now are you traveling around the country going to all these startup events?
So we're focusing on Atlanta and Boston right now. And actually,
why Boston?
So I'm personally from Boston, and we started and we started building a lot of our presence in Boston as well because it's a very strong startup community there with MIT, Harvard there. And I have family there, so it was just convenient. It was convenient.
Place to stay.
That's right.
But no, it's a very energizing crowd, isn't it? You know, because we'll go do these remote broadcasts at these startup events, and we have some startup-centric shows, and we have startup people coming through here. I mean, I love interviewing people from startups.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some of them turn out and they're rich a year later, and they're fun to talk to. Like, you know, tell us how it all happened. It's a fun crowd.
Oh, man, it is amazing. I love going to these events. These people are just wonderful. That's why we love the business we're in, because we love our clients.
Yeah.
So now the guy who founded it, did he quit his job as a lawyer?
He did.
And he's all in on this now?
He's all in, yeah.
Wow.
And then he pulled me away as well.
Is it just you two?
No, we also have a developer as well.
So you have somebody who's doing the web platform for you?
Right. And this guy, our developer is brilliant. This guy's from Georgia Tech. This guy has worked on different things from applications for drones to now building a platform to help inventors.
So he's going
to
work on that.
That's right. We'll
drop
the drone guy.
He's going to make pigs fly.
So as far as getting educated on patents, rather than just go out and just do a Google search, do you have some thought leadership of your own that you try to distribute, or are there some places that people should go to kind of narrow their search for that?
So we found that a lot of people just want to get educated first before they even speak to an attorney.
Well, I would, and even before I wanted to begin out that form.
What's a patent? Do I need a patent search? What is a patent search?
Oh, right.
We created a knowledge center for that with our most commonly asked questions.
Nice.
And we wrote it in layman's terms. We don't want to use the textbook way of writing. We want to make it so you understand what's going on. And that's been extremely successful for us. That's where people spend most of the time on our website. And it's actually been really helpful for us on the Google rankings as well. We're ranked number one for patent consultation on Google.
Nice.
And for a company that's just over a year old, it's been Google has been really liking. It's been really really good to us.
So this is the way I always like to ask about sales and marketing questions, because here it is again, and this is not altogether uncommon, but you can tell that these guys are really on top of it. They're distributing thought leadership. And although they're very high tech, it's a high touch, very relationship oriented.
It's a service. It's a service. We're trying to do more in a little bit of a product way, but it's still a service. And it's you were saying we have two different customers. We have the lawyers end, and then we have the Harrys. And on the lawyer end, we are very careful and very slow to grow on that on purpose because it's all about quality control. We cannot afford our customers a non top of the line lawyer. The lawyers that work with us believe in the mission, believe in our customers, and are the best at what they do. And that is why not only is it difficult to bring on new ones, we're also very slow. We want to vet them out completely, and we want to make sure our quality is at the top. Our customer service, and I'm in charge of customer service, is the most important thing to us. So we definitely are trying to keep that as high as possible.
So I'm fired up about this, not only just to introduce, and I kept saying SmartUp, but it's actually IP SmartUp.
It's IP SmartUp.
To introduce IP.
We have a trademark on SmartUps.
So it's okay.
It's okay.
Well, so I'm excited not only to introduce IP SmartUp and Mikhail and the crowd to our listeners, but I'm kind of enthralled with the idea about the three of us getting together, you and I and Tim, and talk about this man wrap brought to you by Honey Bay
Cam. I'm in with the drone. That's where I'm
I just
spending
think
my time.
Tremendous. This is getting to be like a little mini networking.
So remember, the first thing you do, you're wondering, what can I do with man wrap? You go on SmartUp and ask that question.
There you go. That's fantastic.
In a couple hours, an attorney will call you.
Yes. So let me talk to you about man wrap.
All right, Mikhail, where can our listeners go to learn more?
So, ipsmartup.com. And that's it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming down and visiting.
I appreciate
with
it. Thank you for having me.
So, now you are from Boston, but you're local?
I am. I live right in Buckhead.
Well, the reason we got to have this guy back, I think it would make for a cool segment, or maybe even from time to time, maybe come with a SmartUp client.
Someone do you have any local clients?
Process.
We do. We actually had
you
a client.
From perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I think our clients would love to come in as well. We just had a client a couple of days ago launch their Kickstarter.
Sweet.
For a solar-powered watch. So you know when your phone's running
right.
low? You just unhook a thing on your watch and plug it into your phone and recharge it, give it an extra 3 hours.
Wow, that's a good one.
So they think
they'd be up for it?
That particular client is in Florida, but I will definitely let him and our other clients know. These guys are doing really great stuff, and I think it would be a great fit.
I think it'd be fun. And you have local clients here that
we
can
do
bring
absolutely,
into the studio,
absolutely.
Right?
We spend most of our time in the tech hub, so Land Tech Village or the Hyponymous.
Yeah.
So absolutely, we can bring those guys in.
Fantastic. Well, then we're going to make that happen. So Kevin, let's make sure we make a note of that. We'll get Karen on it, and we'll have you come back because this is. Again, it's just invigorating to talk about
absolutely.
This. I'd love to see the development. How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Oh, I would love to.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have, as promised, Executive Director for Institute of Real Estate Management, Georgia Chapter. Please join me in welcoming to the program a very excited and patient Deborah Westfall. How you doing, Deborah?
Doing great. Thank you very much.
Well, we're delighted to have you. You've been promoted from the cheap seats all the way up to the big big table. Have you learned anything in the last few segments?
Absolutely. I am so excited because you guys are nice and knowledgeable, and I think I'm going to save some money to invest in some of these ideas.
There you go. That's the right attitude.
Franchises, too.
All right. So let's start with mission purpose of IREM.
Well, the Institute of Real Estate Management, the acronym for IREM. We're a Georgia chapter, and we take care of managing assets for owners, investors, developers, employers, and we actually have a school where you can do some training and get designations, and we are excited that we're about to celebrate our 45-year anniversary.
Wow.
Next year, yes, and IREM's been around for 80 years.
And you don't do all this by yourself. You brought somebody with you. How about introducing your compadre?
I have Cheryl Brown. She's with Winthrop Management. She's actually our education chairperson for IREM Georgia. And she teaches at KSU and several colleges. We just have her, and she is awesome. But we have a lot of members, and we would have loved to have had them all here because we think they're very special. We're very partial. But Cheryl Brown, if you'd like to say hello.
Hi.
Well, now, in real estate, there's different types of real estate professionals, right? There's residential, commercial, there's all kinds. Is this association for all of them?
You know, we are unique in that we do take care of people that are in retail, commercial, industrial, residential, multifamily, duplexes, and it's just nameless. We will take care of it all.
So what's your favorite part about the work?
I like the people and the fact that they want to invest a little bit more into their professionalism by getting designations or additional training so that they can maximize income for the investors and at the same time build their skill sets up to where they have the confidence to run an asset, a multi-million-dollar asset.
Now, so you guys get together on a regular rhythm, provide these educational opportunities, maybe have some honey-baked ham brought in, stuff like that.
You need catering.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we do. To answer your question, yes, we have events. We have 3 to 4 events every month.
Every month?
Yes.
Like every week you got something going on?
We generally will have them at different times of the month. Uh-huh. But we just had an economic forecast luncheon with David Haddo, and it was awesome. It was last week, and he is just an incredible gentleman. And he gave us a big overview on the Atlanta market, and it was very encouraging knowing that retail's moving up and the residential homes are going up about 6% and multifamily investments are growing. And the commercial, we're coming along, so it's just going to take some time. But Atlanta is booming, and it's just getting ready for everybody to get on the train and move on up.
Now, is it something that every meeting is kind of this macro real estate in general meeting, or are they kind of broken up in specialties? So like maybe one meeting is just for residential, another meeting is for commercial. How does it work?
Some of our national training classes will segregate the classes so that it is based on their specialty.
Right.
And they will have access to that, our members do, along the lines of webinars, specialized training, classes. But most of our meetings, we just invite everybody.
It's a free-for-all.
It is a free-for-all. Anybody that's at a site level or an investor, we do some exciting things where we'll go visit buildings, see how they run them. We have 3 CPMs that work at the Atlanta Merchandise Mart. Mm-hmm. And there's so many intricacies when it comes to absolutely managing an asset
right.
that you have to oversee all of it.
Now, is there if somebody started out maybe in residential, they become a member of this association, and then they can learn, go, hey, you know what? Maybe I should go
do
over
commercial.
Do you ever see that?
Absolutely. Definitely. And one of the good things about the Institute of Real Estate Management, we're able to give the training to where when someone goes all the way through the program, if they're interested in getting a designation, they are very capable of managing any type of an asset.
And that's a good certification for somebody. If you're hiring somebody, you want them to make sure they're a member of this, right?
Definitely. I was in the business 20 years, and when I obtained my CPM, I actually changed companies, but I was fortunate enough with the company that I was with. I worked for the owner, and I was among one of the top paid employees. But when I got my CPM and went out and interviewed with another company, my earnings went up 26%. And that's about the average for a CPM,
wow.
certified
wow.
property manager.
So
yes.
Your first boss didn't mention that? Just keeping that on the down low a little bit.
Hey, my first boss helped invest in my future, and I will always be indebted to Lane Company, which is now known as CF Lane.
Now, Cheryl Brown, you are Chief Learning Officer for Winthrop. Tell us a little bit about Winthrop, and then I want to dive into a little bit about the job of a Chief Learning Officer.
Well, I am trying to figure that out myself.
She's always learning.
Right. I'm always learning, for sure. Winthrop Management is based out of Boston, too. So,
oh, wow.
Our residential division is headquartered here in Atlanta, though, and that is where our growth is right now. We are international. We only have in Atlanta 3 residential properties, meaning apartments, but we have a lot of commercial buildings, like my office is in Embassy Row, and those are our buildings. We have spas, hotels, office buildings, basically everything that has to do with real estate in some form, one way or another, a lot of expertise.
So an awful lot of learning to create, distribute, monitor, revamp. That sounds like a pretty big job for an organization of your size and complexity.
It definitely is. I had been involved in training in different facets for, I guess, over 30 years. But I've been, like, most of my background was actually accounting. I was a chief financial
wow.
officer for about 20 years before I started this, and I had my own business. There was such a demand for training. And a lot of this we've developed, we probably have set ourselves apart right now with our training program. I don't think anything else in the country exactly matches it as far as a property management company. We have this online university. Since I've been there, I started about a year ago. We've developed about 70 customized courses, meaning that it's taking the things the Winthrop way of doing it. Then on top of that, we bridge gaps like we use IRM. Their designations are the ones that are the recognized that everybody wants to hire, just like Deborah said. 70% of the IRM members are in upper management. Their salaries across the board go from, like hers, 26 is right in the middle, between 13 and 45% higher than others. When we're hiring, we seek out those kind of designations. So our learning program is a combination of that personal hands-on. You can't get anything better than that, developing classes, the online, and bridging with these kind of organizations.
So when you have an association like an IRM, that's kind of becomes a partner in your business in some ways, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, from the learning as well as the relationships and the support.
And your future employees could be in there too.
Oh, definitely. Oh, you wouldn't believe it.
Right.
That's one of the reasons I owned my own company for about 10 years, too, that I used to go there was because we found top talent there.
Right, because you know they're serious about their profession if they're showing up at these
Exactly. They're known for their ethics and their professionalism, and both of those are important to us. Mm-hmm. Their knowledge is, there's all kinds of different facets to learn in with IRM.
So now this association in your mind is one that is a meeting you look forward to?
Definitely. It's
You know how you go to some of these members,
yes.
And you're like,
yes.
You know, I think someone else will go to this meeting this month, but this is one that is kind of a priority for you?
It definitely is, and it's not just me. This week, actually, last week, we had the David Haddow,
Whoops.
And he said that, and he did the same, well, we had our students there from Kennesaw State, which was a program started by IRM.
Uh-huh.
And that's a really exciting thing. But these students, when I came into my class, that is the topic of conversation. The ones there, almost all of them were there, actually, believe it or not. But the ones that had missed, the others were talking about it, and they were wanting to know when the next meetings were.
Wow.
They stayed afterwards to find out about the designation program so they could continue.
They take it seriously, and they see the value. That's great.
Right. And enjoyed it a lot.
So this whole conversation, for me, is casting the profession in a little different light, because if you're to take your cues from reality TV, at least I've always viewed the real estate profession as this dog-eat-dog kind of world. Sounds to me like it's a pretty collaborative, learning-oriented group. You know, hang out, go to Margarita Monday and trade best practices and try to help people. Am I right?
It is one of the most fun organizations you can get into. It is never dull. The property management side of it is... it's definitely competitive, but at the same time, you're there to serve people, and you truly get your rewards at the end of the day. And sometimes it happens to end up in your pocket, which is a good thing as well. But truly, you are taking care of the customers, the tenants, the residents, and you learn how to do that in creative ways. And unfortunately, in property management, sometimes something may go wrong in a building or an apartment home or something along those lines, but you just ask people, don't judge us by what goes wrong. Judge us by how quick we fix it, how satisfied you're going to be. And you find a management company that truly cares. And you can tell the ones that do and the ones that don't.
Now, you mentioned that you're getting the college age kids involved in this. Are there mentoring? Are there other kind of educational programs that allow people to learn different ways?
Yes. We actually, in Georgia in particular, that some of the most exciting educational programs that we're seeing, I just mentioned Kennesaw. And this program is a certificate program. The credits go toward the real estate commission, Georgia Real Estate Commission anyway, has this accredited. And the instructors have a combination of training experience as well as that practical hands-on. Mm-hmm. They're all members of IRM, and they were kind of the cream of the crop that we have all these brilliant things. So if somebody can't do it, we can pull others in. That's so exciting right now. We're in our third term, or coming into our third. It's already been announced. I got my little brochure from Kennesaw this Saturday. We also have a program at Georgia Piedmont Technical College, which was the first one in the entire country that was accredited for property management. Mm-hmm. That one's a little bit different. It has a certificate and an internship program involved with it, and it transfers into four-year college programs. The University of Georgia has had a program since 2004, and that's kind of the pioneer of this. It is an emphasis in residential property management, and it is part of the bachelor's degree in housing and consumer economics. It was, and I believe still is, the fastest growing program at the University of Georgia, which is interesting. Georgia Tech has a master's degree program in building construction and facility management and the first PhD program in the entire country in construction management. Then we have internships and all this, and Deborah can tell you about the mentoring program that's a formal mentoring program that IREM has.
Now, it seems like that property management, that's if you graduate with that kind of degree, that's something you're going to get a job. It's not a barista degree. You know, you're going to be able to transfer that to a real life job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just want to go back a second. And Cheryl Brown mentioned UGA, Georgia Tech, and you have to mention Dr. Debbie Phillips. She is instrumental in getting these things started. She is very involved with the National Apartment Association, with the Institute of Real Estate Management. We all work together. Our goal is to make this a career of choice for people instead of what it was 30 years ago, career of chance. Somebody just saw your enthusiasm and saw that you could sell and that you could believe in something, and they thought, wow, money, money, money.
Right.
And now you still want those qualities, but you have to also be analytical. So the training part of it definitely gives insight to people to what the future can bring. Uh-huh. And there are several different levels that you can go into. But these college students that are coming out, they are going to definitely have an added edge among the others. And there's a very big need for apartment and office commercial leasing and also management because, right, let's face it, some of us baby boomers are at the point where it may be easier to let someone else clean out our gutters or edge our lawn or pressure wash and clean the windows. It's just not always glamorous, and you would much rather be traveling and doing something else. So there is a definite need for housing. And in Atlanta, it's just going to get bigger, and the opportunities are definitely there.
Well, before we wrap, Cheryl, how about sharing with our listeners, if you would, some upcoming opportunities that we can give them a heads up on, maybe some upcoming dates for. You know, I mentioned Margarita Monday, but that was just
right. That may not be real.
That may not be.
Well, we'll have to plan that one next. We have right now coming up on March the 19th, we have an idea exchange. Now, that is part of both networking as well as education, where people have these collaborative things of what's really going out there and share ideas. We have a seminar on interviewing and strategies for finding the right talent. And a lot of people come to this not only for knowing how the strategy of interviewing, but as far as bringing resumes in and getting jobs. A lot of the students, I think, will be at that. We also have on March 26th a fundraiser for scholarships, raising money for that, and a wine social. And I think we're going to have a great turnout for it. It has been very popular in the past, one of those fun kind of things. And then in April, we have a conference in Washington, D.C. We have the tour, I think Deborah might have mentioned that, but I'm not sure, the downtown SunTrust Plaza tour.
So you have those field trips periodically throughout the year?
Yes, throughout the year. There's just about something to do, and there really are those kind of spur-of-the-moment things that will pop up every once in a while.
And it might be something that they're doing interesting over there?
Oh, definitely interesting. They're always more than you expect. When you get there, you get more than you even expect, even if you expect a lot to start off with.
And anyone interested in finding out more, the IREM Showcase that's going to be held March 26th, it's going to be at the big BB&T building at Atlantic Station. Uh-huh. CBRE manages that asset.
Right.
20th floor, great views. We're going to have the wine, the cheese, the fun. You're going to get to learn all about IREM. So we're going to have an open invitation for anyone that wants to find out more about property management. If you have a relative that needs a job and they like people and they like to sell, or if you want to supplement your income, you should try it. Come by and see what we can provide for you. That's our goal.
So now for IREM, what are you looking for? More members? Are you looking for more like corporate sponsors? What's your priority?
We do have industry partner vendors. We do limit that. For every 10 real estate professionals, we allow one vendor. Okay. And so that enables everyone to build a very good relationship-based personalization so that people will want to go to Honey Baked Ham and say, hey, let's use Honey Baked Ham for all our corporate events. And they have found much success. We've had some partners that have been around over 20 years.
Uh-huh.
They do not want to leave. They get in there, they are referred by a member, and they love it.
So now, do you need more members then? So you're looking for more members constantly?
Definitely. We have an associate opportunity, and it's a $220 a year investment, mm-hmm. but you're invited to every activity. You get full benefits. You're tied into the National Association of Realtors. IRAM headquarters actually offers free webinars, online training.
Where are they based?
Out of Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago, Illinois.
Yes.
We're heading that way.
Oh, well, they have a beautiful building there. It is managed very well by an IRAM member. And definitely
maybe we'll call you up, make some connections for us because we're going to go there do some corporate interviews.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. I know some wonderful people that work with IRAM headquarters that would love to meet you guys.
All right. Now, if somebody wants to learn more, what's your website?
www.iramga.org.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and all of the Business Radio X family. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.